Excuse me. Chapter 1, as we read through chapter 1, you started to get this feeling, not just an emotion, but you started to catch on. All of us are really in deep trouble without a Savior. That we're all sinners, and we need a Savior. Some people choose not to accept, but the truth is, everyone knows that God created the earth, and everyone knows, we're told, the difference between right and wrong. You can go out to the far reaches of the world, and you will notice that many of them, well, if you can communicate them with them, will tell you, of course, some things are right and some things are wrong. See, that's inside of you that's locked in there. And of course, we talked about all that. And then those of us that judged others, you know, look at those sinners, how gross they are, how foolish they are. Look at them. Well, then that's why he wrote chapter 2 and said, now, you are without excuse, O mankind, because you that judge others for doing those things, you do them yourself. You think you're going to get away with it. Of course, rhetorical question, no, I'm not going to get away with it. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, the kindness of God, and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Remember, we talked about that. But after your hardness and your impenitent heart, what you're doing after that, as your heart is hardened and you are literally storing up to yourselves, with yourselves, wrath against the day of wrath. You are storing up for yourself more trouble, he says. Against the day of wrath. And look, the revelation, the end of verse 5, revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Storing up to yourselves wrath against the day of wrath. Trouble is coming. Judgment is coming. For who? Well, the Bible says this. Let's read verse 6. Who, speaking of God, will render to every one according to his deeds. Everyone, without exception, will be judged according to their works. Everyone. I will, you will, everyone will. Now, is Paul teaching that salvation now becomes a deal of works instead of faith? No. For by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians chapter 2 says. It is faith, placing your faith in God, asking Jesus into your life. That is salvation, freely given. But all of us will be judged. Now, sometimes you may get the picture, and this is wrong, but sometimes you do. You get a picture of all the angels, maybe they're behind us or in front of us, whatever your picture looks like, and all of mankind throughout all of history standing in this one big long line. You're there and there's people in front of you and behind you, and you're waiting to be judged. One big old long thing. And when you get there, you're trying to think of some excuses. The sun got my eyes. My suit came back from the cleaners late. My home left. It was a mobile home. You're thinking of all the things you could say to get out of this. Well, your picture of the judgment is wrong. But this is true. God will render to everyone, every man, every woman, every person, according to his deeds, according to your works. Now, there's a judgment of the nations you can find in Matthew there, 24, 25, around in there. You can read the whole thing if you like, but judgment of the nations. That's a judgment. We'll talk about four very quickly. I won't go into great detail, but the judgment of the nations, when Jesus comes back at his second coming, he will set up his throne. He will judge the nations, and they will all come before him. And of course, you read about him separating then the sheep from the goats, remember? And the sheep, they enter into the 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign, and the others do not, sheep from the goats. That's the judgment of the nations themselves. Actual nations. There is a judgment that we talk about for if you are a Christian, you yourself, if you say, I am born again and I belong to God and I'm sure. Okay, then there's a judgment for you and I called the Bema Seat Judgment. That's a judgment of Christians only. No unbelievers will be there. And Bema, what does it mean? It means bench. If you watch the Olympics on television, or if you maybe you've even been able to go to the Olympics, there the judges will sit on what they call a bema seat or a bench, and the participants who are receiving rewards or awards, they will stand out there in the field and they will stand in either a first place, second, or third. You know, gold, silver, or bronze. Should I? I suggested to the last group that if I got a gold medal, I'd have it bronzed right away. Thank you very much. They just looked at me like, you're going to just get on with it. Tough crowd sometimes. Anyway, just joking. So you're going to stand there at the Bema seat. Your sins, listen closely. Are you truly born again? None of this joking around. Are you really saved? Have you asked Jesus into your heart sincerely, and you know that you belong to Him? Then your sins will never, ever again be brought up to you except for by the people that are sitting around you. You know that, don't you? God will never, ever, ever again bring your sins back up to you. So, but you will be judged according to your works. Now, your sins are gone, but as soon as you were saved, you didn't just start spinning your wheels till God got tired of you and brought you home. What happened was you began a walk with the Lord your God. You began literally to walk in the Lord. And now you're doing things every day. You have opportunities. You have responsibilities. You've got the good news. It's part of what you are. And you're now walking in the Lord. And you're doing works every day. And those works are either gold, silver, or bronze. Or those works are wood, hay, stubble. They're going to burn up. Bible says that some of us are going to be saved so as by fire. Literally, you're going to enter into heaven smelling like smoke. That's how close you came to hell. Yeah, salvation is free. It's a free gift. But now you need to walk with the Lord. So you're going to stand before the bench to receive the awards, the rewards for your walk in Jesus Christ. How's your walk going? Great time today to take a serious look at it. And if it hasn't been going so well, sure, you're born again and you're safe. But now may be an opportunity to really begin to use your life for God. Another judgment is, we would call, near the end of the book of Revelation, we would call it the Great White Throne Judgment. Now that, the earth is gone, the universe is gone, the heavens are gone, everything's gone. So somewhere is a great white throne, John sees, and the Lord will be sitting on the throne. And John says, I saw the dead, small and great. Nobody that's alive will be standing at that judgment. Only the dead, small and great. And they're going to stand in that line and they will be judged according to their works, just like we will. But the truth is, they have rejected God's means of salvation or God's free gift. And so what will happen is the books will be opened at that point. The books are opened and one of them called the Book of Life. And whosoever name was not written in the Book of Life was sent to the lake of fire. And the dead, small and great, are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you're not going to, don't get the wrong picture. You're not standing in line. And when you get there, he's not going to ask you like a series of questions that are multiple choice or something. We used to have, as I grew up, I went to a Catholic school, and we had a nun, you know, and she was a tough one. And she would, every test she would give us multiple choice questions. Don't you like those? If you're not wise, you call them multiple guess. No, we know. So we are making a wise choice, a multiple choice. And she always, in every question, would give you four choices, and one of them always was none of the above. So that's what we called her, the none of the above. Sorry, I had to. You know, we sometimes you have a joke in you and you have to get it out. No, you're not going to stand there in that line and then get up there and he's going to ask you questions. You're going to answer them. No, he's going to open the books and this isn't a judgment like, let's see what we're going to do with you. This is a judgment to show you judgment has already been passed. This is your sentencing. You'll be sent to the lake of fire. That's the great white throne judgment. Now, the fourth judgment that I mentioned has nothing to do with you and I in a judgment mode. We will be with the Lord and stand there, and we will together judge angels. The ones that are serving the Lord now and the ones that have fallen. They will also be judged. Isn't that interesting? So, all of you, all of us, everyone, whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, we will all be judged for our works. Christians, your sins are gone. Thank you, Lord. Now, judged according to my works. What has my life been all about? How did I spend my time, my energy, how did I use my life? The money that God gave me, the equipment that God gave me, the talents, the abilities. I don't have much, but he's still going to want to look at something about it. You remember in the parable of the talent, he only gave one guy one. But he still came back and there was a judgment time on it. Well, that what we read is this, verse 6. God who will render to every man according to his deeds. Psalm 62, verse 12. Also unto you, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for you remember for you render to every man according to his work. I'll read it again and try to do it right. Also unto you, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for you render to every man according to his work. God has not changed. God never changes. It's still the same today. Ezekiel 18, verse 30. God says, therefore will I judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Judged according to your ways. Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels. Jesus is saying this. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. God will be judging. I listed you four judgments. God's going to be judging. You want your sins washed away and taken care of. You need Jesus Christ. Today is the day to do that. I wouldn't put it off any longer. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. God's going to bring it all out into the open. The works are going to be shown finally. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear, speaking to Christians only, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. In Revelation 22, near the end there, verses 12 and 13, and behold, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I will be judged according to my works. My sins have been washed away. And so I'll still stand at a judgment, but it'll be to receive the rewards for works done. Some of my works, was born again in 1973. And so much of my works will be burned up. Wood, hay, and stubble. They weren't for the glory of God's kingdom. I was saved. Let me give you a little example of what I mean. Not just about me, but let me try to include you. It makes me feel better. Let's just pretend that there's a nuclear attack and we get some warning. On the coast of California, it's coming soon. And we get maybe an hour or two or three or four warning. Or maybe a full day's notice, 24 hours. I normally talk in such well-respected, high words, I know. I'm known for that. I shouldn't boast. It's just, you know, might as well call a spade a spade. I really use big words. So normally, instead of saying the West Coast, I say the left coast. I just want people to know how intelligent I am. And then the other coast would be the... See? See how geography is simple. I don't know why everybody's... So you pretend that a nuclear exchange is going to happen, but the left coast is going to be attacked. And you live there. All right, now, let me show you the reaction of some people. Some people, they hear about it, and here's what they do. They get a ticket, or they get in their car, and they are headed for the furthermost right coast piece of property they can get to. Maine, anywhere, far north, I just want to get away. Far from it, I don't even want to, no, I just get away. That's what some of you are like when you accept the Lord. You just want to get so close to Jesus that he nicknames you Hockey Puck. Because every time you move, he's got to kick you if he wants to move. Because you're so close to the Lord. But some of you, that's not you. You accept the Lord, and you're like those people. The bombs are coming in, and they just get to safety. They accept the Lord. They want to stay right on top of the hill so you can watch it. That ought to be bright and colorful. Man, they're going to wipe out. Whoa. But I'll get to safety, but then you can watch to see what it's like. Another thing we used, the way we used to describe it back when I was a puppy, was we would talk about eagles. You know how Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Eagles don't flap. They just float. They soar. And they look for currents that they want, and they're just up there out of the way, and they're doing, no, they're just peaceful. Now, same idea. That's like going all the way to the right coast from the left coast, right? You want to get as far away from it as you get. Some Christians aren't that way, though. They accept the Lord, and they just kind of want to stay so they can see the danger and kind of hang out. They don't want to be eagles. They want to be what I like to call barnyard Christians. You know the little birds that hang around barnyards? They're out. They're not on the ground. They can sit up on the power poles and on the top of the barn. But the trouble is, and they can float down and eat whatever's on the ground, you know, the garbage. But they're out of it, but yet they're still in the smell of the barnyard. You notice? They're still like down there. They're up there on the power lines, but the breezes go, they smell everything that's going on. And then they're also flying around flapping. If strong winds are coming, they fight, and soon they are forced to go the way the winds go too, aren't they? Well, some of you are that way. You really want to get to the Lord and just hide in Jesus. Some of you just want to be a barnyard Christian. You know, you're saved and that's enough. You still want to hang out in the stink. But remember, salvation is free. And the walk that you choose to walk, God gives you the strength. I say, get away from the danger as far as you can get. Get close to the Lord. The Bible says, draw near to the Lord. He'll draw near to you. Don't be a barnyard Christian. Don't stay in the mountains close to the left coast there. Stay close to the Lord. How's your Christian walk? Remembering that we're going to stand before Him and that our works will either be burned up or be refined and be gold and silver and bronze or brass. It was an old pastor that said it this way. He said, right now, we all sing in the choir of humanity. So all of us are singers in the choir of humanity. Now, what? There are a little over 6 billion of us singing, aren't there? All singing in the choir of humanity. So if you're a little off key or a little out of tune with 6 billion singing, it really doesn't stand out too much, does it? People may not even notice. But there's coming a time when we'll each sing a solo. And you know, we're going to find out then how out of tune we really are. Everyone will answer and stand in judgment. The Christian, a true believer, will not answer for their sins. Bible says that your sins, if you're born again, truly born again, your sins are removed away from you, taken away from you, as far as the east is from the west. Now, had God said, as far as the north is from the south, that wouldn't have been as far. Think about it a second. If you start going north, what happens? You come over the top, and what are you doing now? Aren't you going south? That means you're going to run into your sins again. But He didn't say the north and the south. He said the east from the west. Now, if you start going east and continue for eternity, when will you ever be going west? You never will. God says, you come to Me. I'll take your sins and remove them as far as the east is from the west. You'll never, ever see them again. But you will be judged according to your works. What are you doing? How are you living? How's it going, Christian? Well, let's read this now. He's going to render to every man according to his deeds. To them that who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, to them, eternal life. He's talking about those who are listening to God, who are walking with the Lord. By patient continuance in well-doing. Now, don't misunderstand. He is not trying to tell you that salvation, your salvation, is based on what you do. No. But when you come to the Lord, your rewards are based on what your life is all about and what you've been doing. But you see, patient continuance in well-doing, you're seeking for glory and honor. Whose glory and honor would you be seeking if you were a Christian? You and I'd be seeking for God's glory, wouldn't we? God's honor. We want God to be glorified. In the things you're doing, you want God to be glorified. You want God to be honored. That's why you don't complain if someone else gets a position and you didn't get it. You don't complain because you want God to be glorified. Well, if that's what the Lord wants, that's perfect. That's what I want too. Well, I wanted to kind of get a chance to do that, but she's doing it. And so thank you, Lord, because I know you're in control. And so you must want me to do something else. You want God's glory. You want God's honor. Now, if you turn the tables, you're going to go, well, I can do that better than her. I'm twice as smart as him. How come he's doing that? You're not wanting God's glory now, God's honor. You're wanting your own glory and your own honor, and that's going to turn you into some trouble. But you, by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. That's what you'll get. How long is that life? Oh, until you blow it. Isn't that what your Bible says? That life is, oh, until you lose your temper. No, doesn't it say eternal? Well, it's funny how we fight about that, because we just can't deal with it. Because we are not that nice. I would never give you eternal life. I could see why I could have it. But you, I mean, you're a jerk, man, or a jerkette, and you've got a long way to go. And why would I even be kind to you until you change your clothes, change your attitude, quit piercing all those things, and come back around? Aren't you glad I'm not God? I am. I would have never let someone like me in. Would you? But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, to them indignation and wrath. How long are we talking about now? What was it for those who belonged to God and were obedient to God and following God? It was eternal, wasn't it? Well, how long are we talking about now? Indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, the Jew first and also the Gentile, meaning including everybody. How long? Same amount of time. Same amount of time. Eternal. Isn't that an interesting thought? That means eternally they get indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish. Now, how many times have you heard it said there is no hell? I mean, the church is starting to teach it. I don't call it the real church, but that's just my opinion. You think what you want. The church is beginning to teach there is no hell. Man, if there's one thing I'm sure of in all of Scripture, there is a hell. But the church says, no, there's not. There's no hell. You're not going to suffer. And many of the cults and many of the aberrant Christian theologies that are coming out are all buying into this. There's no suffering. Well, look what Romans chapter 2 happens to say. If you continue on and be contentious and not obey the truth, continue to reject the free gift of salvation and to continue to not walk with the Lord your God, and you obey unrighteousness, what you get is indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish. Indignation, the heat of anger. That's what indignation is. Whose anger? Think about it a second. The heat of anger? God's anger. God hates sin, doesn't he? Indignation. Wrath means violent emotion, which includes vengeance. Wrath is violent emotions, which includes vengeance. And doesn't God say, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. If you reject God's promise, if you reject God's offer, free gift, then heat of anger, violent emotion, which includes vengeance, tribulation, which means affliction, oppression, or distress, and anguish, which means, anguish means literally to force into extreme affliction, and it includes mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. The heat of God's anger, violent emotion, which includes vengeance, affliction, oppression, and distress, and to be forced into extreme affliction mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually for eternity. I've heard people say, I had a young man ask me, you don't really believe that hell is literal and that someone will suffer for eternity? Yeah, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 2 and read, to be forced into extreme affliction both mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually for eternity. Yes, suffering awaits anyone who refuses the free gift of God. To go to hell, to suffer for eternity, you have to reject God's free offer and you have to walk over the blood of Jesus Christ to get to hell. Because at any moment, you can say, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow you, God. And just ask him into your life. And he said, anyone who comes to me, I would in no way turn away. I knock on the door of your heart. If you open the door, I will come in. Yeah, but I'm gross. You don't know what my life has been like. You don't know what kind of person I am. God says, if you open the door while I knock, I will come in. It's up with you and you with me. If you come to me and ask me for anything, for mercy, for life, I would not say, get away from me, you're gross. God says, I wouldn't turn you away. It's a free gift. And it's yours simply by asking. If you say, I'm going to try it on my own. Well, what we call that is contentious. You're just fighting, saying, no, I don't want that. Well, contentious, not obeying the truth, obeying unrighteousness, you get indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish on every soul of man that does evil. The Jew first, also the Greek. That means all of mankind, Jews and Gentiles alike. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Just the opposite. Glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good. Is salvation by works? No. Salvation is a free gift. Once you are saved, works should happen. You and I should be simply serving God. Now look, verse 11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. Now that doesn't mean God doesn't respect you. What it means, the word respect means partiality or favoritism. There is no partiality of any persons with God. And you think, I've been only saved about 3 weeks and Billy Graham's been saved 60 something years. God likes him better than me. God says, no, there is no respect of person, no partiality. God loves you just as much. Are you kidding? Look at his life. He's brought thousands of people to the Lord. He's been nice and he's getting old now and he's about ready to enter heaven and he's just doing everything right. Me, I can't even spell heaven. And no, the Bible says God doesn't play favorites. But I know some of you think he does. And so sometimes we'll see prayer requests in the box back there. Please pray for me. I need a job and I know God likes you. Now, I hope they're joking. Because the truth is, they probably do need a job, but God likes them just as much as he likes anybody inside of this building. God loves you. You know, you want to hear something that is freaky. In what I call the Lord's Prayer, which is different than what you call the Lord's Prayer, I call the Lord's Prayer John chapter 17, there where the Lord is actually praying. And when he's praying to his Father before he's crucified, the night before he's crucified, he says in his prayer, Father, you love them just like you love me. You think about that. God loves you as much as he loves his Son, Jesus Christ. He loves you. Now, the Bible says that in James chapter 5, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can pray and God will hear you if you are born again. If you've asked Jesus in your life, God will hear you. Now, I am not saying that you shouldn't have others praying for you. I think you should. I think that's a wise thing to do. But understand that you yourself can pray. God loves you. He will hear you. The Bible says he hears the cry of the righteous. He bends down low to hear you. He stoops down to listen to what you've got to say. Because he is high and lifted up and his train fills the temple. And you are brokenhearted sometimes and you're there and you're weeping and you're saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he listens closely, the Bible says. He loves you. I know you're thinking that he likes all those other Christians better because truth is, those other Christians are so much smarter than us. And they're Bible scholars and they're this and they're more holy. They seem to just, when they do praise and worship, they do it this way and it seems to be so much more in depth. And when they study, they do it. And so you're starting to think, man, I'm getting left out. No, he loves you. You're the one he loves. He died for you, gave his life for you. He loves you. and he'll listen to you. But notice, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. No partiality, no favoritism. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 10, when Peter went to Cornelius' house, Cornelius is a Gentile, and Peter wasn't even supposed to be there, and it took a little bit of work to get Peter there. And he's there and he's preaching, and while he's preaching, the Holy Spirit falls down, saves Cornelius and his household and all the people that were in there, and fills them in the Spirit. They begin to speak in tongues, and Peter is just flabbergasted. He's floored, and he says in verse 34 of Acts chapter 10, he said, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Or he says this, "I know it's true, and I see it with my own eyes. God plays no favorites." He saved Cornelius and his whole household. And they're not Jews, and they don't know anything about the law. And they don't know anything about all those rules and rites and rituals and things. And, you know, doing this on Saturday, doing that on Thursday afternoon, and doing this between 2 and 3 in the morning on Friday night. They don't know all that stuff. They don't burn the right candles and wear the right underwear. They just want God. And so some of us are just trying to pick the right undies. We're trying to pick the right candles in the right color. We're trying to burn them in the right direction because we think that'll make God like us. No, he loves you. He loves you. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." God plays no favorites. As I sow, I reap. As you sow, you reap. It's not like you and me can do the same thing. I'll get in trouble for it and you won't. No, no partiality. God says if it's a sin for one of his children, it's a sin for all. Colossians 3, verse 25. "He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons." 1 Peter 1, 17. Peter says to the Christians, this is to Christians now, "If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, then pass the time of your traveling here in reverence and in fear." If you call upon the Father, knowing that God is without respect of persons, judges according to every man's work, then pass your time here in reverence. "Lord, I just want to serve you. All I'm asking you to do is to use me. All I'm asking you to do is to take my life and make it count for your kingdom and for your glory. It doesn't matter to me where I have to live or what I have to do to do that living. Just use my life for your glory." He will hear you, he will answer, and he'll bless you out of your socks. You'll have to get another pair of socks. I mean, he's going to do a work you never dreamed he would do with you. And you don't have to be super holy. You know, I was sitting with someone about 2 weeks ago, and we're sitting in my office, and they're there for a problem. I get too busy, and people don't come in just to say hello. Usually they have to be on the verge of real trouble before they want to talk to Bob. It's kind of like being a policeman. No one ever called you just to give you a piece of cake or something. They always said, "Could you shoot this person, or would you arrest this person? That's bad." It's kind of like being a dentist. Who goes to the dentist just to see how they're feeling? Now, you go in there when you're in trouble, and dentists are always looking down in the mouth anyway. I had to. I'm sorry. We're sitting there with this young person. The young person says, I just have this trouble, and I don't know what to do about the trouble. And wait a minute. I told him that, Lord. And I'm going, "No, I told him that too, Lord. And should I tell him that?" I go, "Who are you talking to?" They go, "God, can't you hear him?" "No." "What is he saying?" And in my mind, I'm going, "Now, Lord, if you're really talking to him, how come you never do that to me?" And he said, "You want me to?" And I said, I'm sorry. Complaining is just silly. How many times does that happen to you? You're there, you just want to serve God, and someone comes along and says, "Well, God told me to tie my shoe." And you go, "Why doesn't he ever just tell me something? How come I got to find it in his word? Or how come he's got to work it out of my life? How come he just doesn't hit me with something?" Don't you feel that way? He loves them better than you. He's talking right to this kid. Me, he doesn't do that. He has to hit me with a 2x4 like a donkey. I'm going, God, talk to me like you talk to him. No, I don't really think I want that. I think if God ever talked to me out loud, I'd faint. I'd probably have a heart attack. And I mean, because I can imagine it would be loud. But anyway. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your traveling here in reverence. And I know you think God usually likes those people out there better because they're more holy. They seem to hear him more clearly. They read their Bible more. They pray more. When they pray, they're just off in ecstasy. They're off in a, you know, who knows where they have gone to at this moment. I mean, they're just into this, and you're going, Brandon being Christian, and you're clapping out of rhythm. And so immediately you say, God doesn't love me. It's not working for me. Yes, he does. He is no respecter of persons. He loves you. He's listening to you, and he will speak to you. Maybe not in out loud voices and interrupt your conversations with others, but he will speak to you. Remember, those of you that don't know Jesus, if you have never asked Jesus into your heart, understand that at any moment it is free and you can come to Jesus by just saying, I want you, Lord. I want to give you my life. Take my life. It's free. But understand, if you say no, thank you, there will come a time when you will be judged. And remember, sin must be paid for. God hates sin. The soul that sins, it shall die. It's going to have to happen. That sin will be paid for. And if Jesus doesn't pay for mine, I have to answer for and pay for my own. And I don't have it. I do not have what it takes to pay that debt. You who have never asked Jesus into your life, you do not have what it takes. But it is today offered to you as a free gift. So you can ask Jesus into your heart. Those of you who are Christians, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard that the truth is, we're not just spinning our wheels down here. We're actually working works. Some of them are gold and silver and brass or bronze. Some of them are wood, hay, and stubble. They're going to be burned up, wasted, gone, destroyed. Begin now, Christian, to walk simply with God, saying, then take my life and give me works that I might serve you. Some of you are looking for work. Some of you are looking for some direction. Some of you are looking, your heart is broken and you're needing to know what God is doing or where he's at. Cry out to him. He is no respecter of persons. He does love you. He is listening. He will work in your life. Sometimes these things are right there just to put enough pressure on you to where you'll start to look to God for help. When you're flat on your back, it's easy to look at the stars, you know? And sometimes God allows it in my life and yours so that we've got nowhere to look but up to him. What does someone say? When you're in the deepest, darkest well, the stars look pretty bright. And so many times God allows us to get down so that we will look back to him and begin to cry out. You say, well, I'm a sinner, and my lifestyle, my past is so gross and so bad. You know what Jesus says? Listen closely. He says, I don't care where you've come from. I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't care who's made your bed, he says. I don't care where you've come from. But I care where you are going. So from this day forward, you walk with me. He said to the woman taken in the very act of adultery, I do not condemn you. From this day forward, walk with me and sin no more. He loves you. Listen to God as he speaks to your heart. Let's bow our heads together.